we are here for you.
Aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And not down again. That was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Yeah, very, very excited. Been dreaming of this since I was a kid. Grew up watching this game. So just blessed to play, honestly, another SEC game, another ranked opponent at home. So just very, very excited.
What do you remember about the third Saturday, October as a kid?
Just growing up, how special it was to both parties, you know, being from the state of Tennessee and also, you know, the University of Alabama being a part of that. Just, you know, what a great, just what a great tradition with the cigars and always on the third Saturday of October. Just, you know, this is what college football is all about. This is what SEC football is all about. Two great teams going at it, you know, every year. So just really looking forward to the opportunity.
I know you're a fan of your dad's team, but did you grow up rooting for the Vols? And was there ever an early memory of this rivalry where maybe you were on the other side?
Yeah, you know, of course, like I grew up, you know, watching them. You know, favorite guy was Peyton Manning. I remember, you know, my dad playing them. I guess it would have been Derek Dooley's first ever game there. What my dad's tell, like 15-0, right? I actually had two memories. One was, you know, I was crying in the little, you know, locker room right there because I didn't really know, like, you know, at the time the FBS versus FCS, you know, how it worked or whatever. So I was like, you know, 15-0, like, what the heck, you know, what's going on? But the second part was Peyton Manning was on the other sideline. In pregame, I walked over there and I asked him, you know, how does it feel to play against your brother in NFL? And I remember like it was yesterday. He was like, man, it's really hard, but it's fun. So, you know, that's one of my favorite memories as a kid, good and bad. But, you know, just great to be a part of that.
We heard you got after the offense a little bit in the meeting. Katie, let us know about that. Can you sort of walk us through what brought that on?
Yeah, you know, I think it's going to stay between, you know, the offense. You know, I just kind of told it how it was, how I felt as a leader. It's my job to make sure that I get the best out of guys. I mean, I get the best out of myself. I just felt like the last couple games we hadn't, you know, executed very well and some things. So I just wanted to make sure that the guys understand, you know, what the standard is here and what the standard is with this offense. But yeah, I won't keep that between us.
How do you evaluate where you can get better? What are the big things point of emphasis for what you're looking at?
Yeah, I can get the ball out quicker. You know, understand that, like, you know, just because, you know, they're bringing some type of pressure, right? I got to understand, you know, I can get the ball out quicker in the flat and on my checkdowns. I can not take as many sacks, you know, when I get out of the pocket, right? Understand situational ball better on third down. Instead of waiting on the big ball, just kind of, you know, taking what they give me. Just some things like that I got to clean up. But it's also disappointing because, you know, it's easy stuff, you know what I mean? And I got to make sure that I help my teammates, you know, in that type of aspect because they count on me for a lot of stuff, and I'm not executing that, and I'm putting us in a bad position. So
how do you make sure you don't dwell on mistakes and kind of move forward?
You know, I feel like in the past, right, you know, that's kind of what kept me from playing to a certain extent. You know, we always talk about going 1-0 here. You know, just because of what happened, you know, I think about the Vanderbilt game, perfect example, right? First drive, go all the way down there, throw a pick. You know, they go score. I can't just sit there and dwell on the pick, right? Like, we got to keep going, got to keep punching. But, you know, you also look back and understand like all the experiences that you have from playing, you know, coming back watching the iPad, right? Just understanding, you know, everything, because everything's just, every play's a, you know, a new learning type thing, you know what I mean? So, you know, you just live and you learn, you know, and make sure that you got to keep punching.
Ty, when asked Coach Grubb about, you know, your throwing mechanics and kind of what he wants to improve, you mentioned like throwing on the run, but he also mentioned like a quick, you know, pat with the left hand before each throw. Is that something that is natural to you? Is that something that he wants gone, or like what's
going to be? You know, throwing on the run, I gotta make sure that I'm more accurate in that aspect, just because I kind of rely on my athletic ability a little too much. And the pat comes from a baseball background, you know, pitching, shortstop, you know, whatever position, you know, you can think of baseball. It's kind of how I grew up throwing. It's hard, to be honest. We do a lot. I do a bunch of drills. And I also know that he talks about the next level all the time and how, you know, DBs are a lot faster. And, you know, the pad is just a half second quick enough to where they can break up a ball or they can intercept it. So, you know, I need to definitely work on that, especially with RPOs and other things like that.
What kind of goes into, is that just a mental thing?
Yeah, it's a mental thing. It's a mechanical thing. But, you know, at the same time, right, it's just trying to complete ball. So if it happens, it happens. But, you know, I can't just, you know, think about in the game, like, oh, don't pat the ball. I'm just playing it at that point.
What positions are you in baseball?
I play center, shortstop. I pitched, I caught. Play third. I mean, a little bit.
You play everywhere, right?
Yeah, I enjoy baseball a lot. It's huge baseball.
Did you get a chance to see that double play last night?
Who?
The Brewers and the...
Yeah, the Dodgers. Yeah, Dodgers. Dodgers won. Freddie Freeman, man. Baller.
The ball's kept in your hand on all three fourth down attempts. So what does it say? A, that, you know, you have an offensive coordinator that trusts you that much, and then also trust the offense to go for in those situations.
Yeah, it means a lot, right? You know, I feel like that, you know, them trusting me to get the ball, give me the ball in that position, right, with the game on the line is a huge, huge compliment. But it's also, you know, a huge compliment to the offense, the one we can, you know, withstand in the pocket, you know, withstand the pass rush, and to make plays on the outside, like, you know, last year Brooks did, on that fourth down. You know, I think about all the times that, you know, led up to the fourth down, you know what I mean? Like the sack, the MA on the screen, just easy stuff like that we can avoid. And that's what, you know, we gotta stop.
You talk about using your athleticism. Do you love those kind of rollout plays where it's just 2-on-1 against the defender and you can kind of use just almost backyard it?
Yeah, absolutely, right? You know, you look at the Chiefs yesterday, the Monday Night Football game, right? Like Patrick Mahomes, that's kind of what he does. He does best with the Chiefs, you know, Andy Reid. And those guys do, you know, a great job of just getting Patrick out in space, right, and getting those guys the ball. It's kind of, one, it gives the defense another thing to worry about, and then two, you know, it gives the, you know, fast guys a lot of space to go work. So
I just talked to Tim Keenan and asked him, is there any chance that y'all will line him up at fullback and put Proctor at running back? And he said, we'll see. Is there any sort of discussion at practice about
it? Yeah, there's something that works. And we were just going to leave it at that. So, yeah.
He says he hasn't thrown the ball yet, though. Is he? Is he moving?
Nah, he's not going to. He's not going to either. I've seen the way he throws.
What have you seen? There's obviously been a lot of attention on you as an Alabama starter, but what have you seen from Austin and Cameron over the past few weeks?
How yeah. First off, right, I mean, like, those guys are growing tremendously from the time that Austin's got here last year to Key's time in spring, right? Like, I was super proud of where they are. You know, I think about when I was their age, and they're light years ahead of where I was. You know, just how mature they are, how much ball they understand, how talented they are. I mean, you know, one, having confidence in your starter is huge, but having confidence in your, you know, second guys is even more of a compliment, right? And, you know, I have extremely confident that, you know, if something, you know, were to happen to me, that those guys would execute it at a high level. So just really, you know, those are my brothers, man. Like, just super proud of them. And I can't thank them enough, honestly. Like, those are some of my boys. And, you know, it's my job to make sure that I can mentor them in any type of way.
What makes Tennessee's secondary so vulnerable?
I honestly don't think they're vulnerable at all, to be honest with you. You know, they do a lot. They're good up front. You know, they'll play man. They're physical. They move around. They're fast. I mean, it's just like an SEC defense, you know what I mean? You know, they're going to cause chaos. They're going to, you know, they're going to blitz, you know, all types of stuff, right? So we got to be on our P's and Q's and, you know, got to be disciplined with everything, right? Because they're going to bring, you know, every type of thing they got at us. And, you know, we just got to make sure that, you know, we make plays, right? Because their offense is going to make plays with how tempo they are. And, you know, we just need to understand it. you know, we just do our job. You know what I mean? Like, that's a good defense. I'm pretty sure they're, like, number one in sacks, number one, you know, turnovers and touchdowns, right? So we got to protect the ball. But I don't think they're vulnerable at all, to be honest with you. I think they're, you know, one of the top defenses in the country.
It's the face.
Do you feel like this wide receiver room is equipped enough to go against a top defense like that? I mean, this wide receiver room has skill sets like no other. They each bring a different kind of skill set. What have you seen from them that you feel like is good enough for them to be able to compete?
Well, yeah, I feel like that, you know, I have the best wide receiver room in the country, to be honest with you, right? Not only from the, you know, the players in general, but how deep they are, right? You know, really, really, really proud of how far Lightyear Brooks has gone, came. You know, proud of Rico Scott, you know, Derek Meadows, you know, guys like that. I think of how far, you know, Jalen Mbakwe has come, you know, coming from DB to wide receiver, right? Jalen Hill, like Cole Adams, you know, he people don't understand, but like him, you know, filling that onside kick in the game was very underrated play. And then, you know, the guys like Germ, Ryan, Zay, just, you know, everybody like that, right? You know, you just, it's hard to defend when, you know, everybody thinks we just have one guy. No, we have about eight, you know what I mean? And so being able to get the guys out in space and, you know, spreading them out and being able to throw to a bunch of guys like that, like, I'm extremely blessed, and they make me look good, you know what I mean? And then, you know, not talking about the guys up front with the O-line, and then, you know, you have Josh, Danny, Caleb Edwards coming along, like, you know, just the whole group in general, and makes it hard for guys to cover us. So.
Thanks, Zach.
Awesome.
There you go. That was Alabama quarterback Ty Simpson speaking to the media yesterday. Wanted to get that out the way. Obviously, we've been playing a lot of clips, but wanted to hear from him, so we wanted to start with that. And now we're going to hit our first timeout. When we come back, we'll dive into some of the things he had to say. Then obviously you guys know what the deal is. It's a Wednesday. It means we're going to dive a little bit deeper into our breakdown. And our previews right here on the Miller's Edge. 30. WTBC. Plus, I got a lot of exciting news for you guys. Hit on when we come back right here on the Miller's Edge. 500.9, 1230. WTBC.
Treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. HIMS.com/RADIO.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
WTBC. I'm thinking about a million things. Hope you guys are doing well. First segment, we rolled out that Ty Simpson interview. Obviously, we're going to talk about that a little bit. You know, he spoke to the media yesterday. A number of other players did. We'll probably roll with those here in a little bit. But I was trying to at least play some stuff early, right? That way we'd have more time to talk. Because I know yesterday we played a whole bunch of stuff throughout the show. We didn't talk as much. But today, guys, we're going to talk a lot. And there's one big reason why I'm really excited. You guys can probably tell. I know I still sound a little nasally. We're getting through with that. But let's just say we got some good news. So what should we start with first, Reed, Chase? What's up, by the way? I didn't really get to talk to you guys just yet. But should we start with the good, exciting news? Or should I give my little – I got to get some off my chest first. What should we do first?
Reed, you know what? I'd just say just get it off your chest. You know, get that through. And then we get to the good, you know?
There we go. All right. Well, Reed showed it. So here we go. We'll say the good news for a second. All right. Let me just say this. And again, this is all fun. This is not serious, but let me just be honest real quick. And I'm always, you guys know me. I love debates. I miss having my dad on here consistently. That way I had somebody to debate with, but don't worry. I'm going to talk on something in a second. Well, here's my thing, man. If you're going to come in my comment section or my platform, right? And you're going to act like I don't know what I'm talking about or make comments like, what are we watching, bro? Like, listen, I'm all for it. Like, oh, if your opinion differs, cool, whatever, explain it. But just know, if you bring your ass on my platform, Matt, and like you know something that I don't, or kind of try to like discredit what the hell I'm talking about on my platform, I'm going to check your receipts. Just know that. I'm going to check your receipts, right? So we had a comment like, oh, because this is what I said about the offensive line. Basically, all I said was they need to be more consistent, which I think is fair, right? And I mentioned the pass rush. Reed, were you behind the glass yesterday or was it Chase?
That was Chase, but
it was me.
Okay. Do you remember the comment, exactly what it was?
A little bit. Kind of caught me off guard, I'm not going to lie.
I was going to say, I got to ask, like, what's the comment? Just so I have some, like, clarification.
It basically was, so I mentioned the offensive line, and then I was told, oh, they've been the most consistent group out of anybody. It was something like, all right, let me go back. My comment was, we need to shore things up on the offensive line. We need them to play, you know, more consistent. And the comment was, they've been the most consistent group on offense. What are we watching? Almost like, what are you talking about? And so I'm like sitting here, and we already moved on. We're like trying to listen to the Kane Womack interview. But I'm reading this comment like it was one thing if you go like, oh, I would say, if someone goes, I think the line has been pretty consistent. Cool. But when you go, oh, what are we watching? Dude, I'm watching the tape. What are you watching? Like, I don't look at stats. Like, this is the difference between me and a lot of people that try to do that. Brother, I played the game years at the highest level, won championships as the captain here. Bro, like, I know football. I don't just pull up. First of all, I'm not even subscribed to PFF. But I don't pull up numbers and just read numbers and just try to act like I'm giving breakdowns. Like, bro, we don't do that here. We watch tape and we do it together. We're going to do a lot more of it, and I'm about to tell you why. So I'm like just confused. I'm like, what the hell? Because I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, hold on, maybe, like, let me think back to the offense real quick. The most consistent group, I'm like, so you're talking about you would put them over the quarterback who's playing better than almost any quarterback in the country who went from not having his name on hardly, you know, any of these lists coming in the year, and now people are talking about him winning the Heisman, being the top quarterback potentially in the draft. You would say they're more consistent than this wide receiver group who, and I made the comment about your best wide receiver. I'm saying, when I say best wide receiver, when everybody talks about Alabama wide receivers, you automatically just say Ryan Williams because you're talking about potential, right? Going into the year, everybody. And I know, yes, if you know ball, and I agree, Jeremy Bernard, without a doubt, and we already see that now for sure, right? But you could tell he definitely is probably the most all-around put-together receiver. Not probably, he is. That's a fact. Like, we can all agree on that. But what I'm saying, like, oh, when you're the guy, your best guy, I'm just saying your big play guy that everybody's expecting to be going, you know, against Jeremiah Smith of Ohio State, of being that guy in next year's draft. Well, you get what I'm saying? And he's not even really producing like you would expect. And that room still is arguably the best room in the country. And even if you take him out of the equation, right, they haven't had, like, problems with drops. I mean, there was a couple in, you know, week one, little thing. But, like, outside of that, how clutch those guys have been. Horton coming along, Brooks stepping up, right? So I'm like, so you're telling me more consistent than that group. And then really you got running backs and tight ends. Tight ends is kind of hard to judge because, I mean, Quavis is playing some damn good ball. Danny Lewis is back, and, you know, he's helped out in that running game. But it's kind of, to me, I'm like incomplete. I mean, I'm not really throwing them in there. And then running backs, the running game wasn't really there first few games. Who does that start with? And really, I know, yes, Jam came back and it got a little bit better. But here's the deal, guys. If you actually go watch the tape, it will tell you that it wasn't really Kevin Riley or any of the other backs why we didn't really have that big running game the first few games, right? It really was the guys up front. We didn't get great push off the ball. We weren't really climbing like we needed to. Execution really was the bigger issue. That being said, I did focus in on pass rush. And I will say, pass pro. And I'll say this, right? Since people want to go off numbers, statistically, yes, we are like the 26th team, according to pass, or it's like, I guess, pass pro or keeping the pocket clean. Like, in terms of keeping the pocket clean, we're like 26. That's a good rating, 100%. But here's my thing. I've told you this time and time again, guys. Numbers say one thing. The numbers can lie. Tape does not lie. My eyes do not deceive me. My eyes are telling me when I watch right tackle, it's a liability. My eyes are not deceiving me when I see that there's multiple guys rotating in at the tackle position midway through the year. My eyes are not deceiving me that you go Vandermark, and then you move Wilkin in at right guard, and then you get Jaden Roberts back, and he's working in there some. And then I also look at the left side. You got Dewberry one series. You got Will Sanders the next series. My eyes aren't deceiving me. And while they are playing much better, I agree 100%. And I give credit when it's due. I've talked about that. They did great versus Georgia. They had some good moments against Vanderbilt, especially in the running game. We pulled up the tape and talked about it. This was the difference between week one while in some of the other previous games and now against Vanderbilt while we're popping those explosive runs. It was the execution. Jam being back with his vision does help, but it was the execution up front. I gave those guys credit. But for you to sit there and make it seem like, oh, they're the most consistent group, brother, you just lost all credibility with me and probably everybody that you just said that in front of, right? Are they playing some good ball, especially compared to what they've done in recent years? Yeah. Caden Prodder stepped up big, right? Right. We needed him to. Week one, it was kind of like, oh, crap. But since then, these guys stepped up. But here, the honest truth is, I don't give a damn what numbers you look at. Outside of left tackle and center, we don't have consistency. And that was the word I used, right? And then if you really want to look at numbers, right, not just tape, the numbers also did say that we had our worst pass pro grade last week when we played who? Missouri, who had a good front. Who else have we played that really was Georgia's front in terms of pass rush? Non-existent, right? That's a fact. Wisconsin, they were decent. Florida State was decent. But what I'm getting at is, the fact is, when we played a team that had true dudes that could get after the quarterback, you want to go off grades? The grade was a 50-something. It was bad, and it was the worst pass pro grade of the year. We now have to face teams like Tennessee, which you also, again, don't come on my platform, man, like you know everything, because I heard one thing and I turned your stuff off. You said Tennessee is not getting to the quarterback this year. Where did you get that from? If you knew what you were talking about, you know Tennessee is the top team in the country in sack, in averaging like, I can't remember what it is, in sacks per game. But you said they're not getting to the quarterback. Come on, bro. Like that's what I'm saying. Honestly, I'm wasting my time. And this just makes good radio. And honestly, like I said, I miss that competitive fire sometimes. So I'm gonna lean into it. I have time today. Normally, I ignore silly stuff like this. But like I said, if you come on my platform or you do and act like I don't know what I'm talking about, best believe I'm checking your receipts. I'm checking your ass. And I'm telling you, as soon as I heard that one comment, I said, I'm wasting my time. That's how I know. And what's crazy, even if you just were going off of numbers, I mean, it's not hard to just look up. Tennessee is the top team in terms of literally sacks. And you said they're not getting to the quarterback this year. Yeah, bro, you lost me. Anyway, so that was what happened. And like I said, it really wasn't that big of a deal. I'm just like, I literally was mind blown because I'm just like, where are you coming up with this stuff? But anyway, to the main point, let's get to the good news, though. So I'll put that behind us. Like I said, and it's all love. I guess I'm not knocking anybody. It just was funny that I'm like, all right, just know I'm calling you out. If you come on this platform and you try to challenge me or anything I say, that's cool. I invite it. I love it. Call in. Hell, let's debate. But just know your ass is going to get checked and your receipts better be right, which in this case, they weren't. So putting that to rest.
Yeah, what you got to say, Reed? Get that off your chest, Christian. Like, honestly, brother, that's reasonable. I was just telling Chase, especially nowadays, you know, and then of course we'll move past this, but I think a lot of days now it's just rage bait, you know, kind of kills credibility and all that. And especially the whole comment, like, even as a Bama fan and just a football fan in general, I will say it now that Tennessee's D-line will get after Ty Simpson come this Saturday. They have four defenders who have over three sacks. I mean, they're just that naturally good. No matter how good our offensive line is, and even if they were that consistent, they're going to get after them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and here's my thing, guys. When I say, look, they need to shore things up, I'm not saying they've been bad, right? They've been pretty good. But the fact is, right, when you look at right tackle, that spot is, it, like we always use the term, that's a fish, right? Michael Carroll, not so much of a fish, but Will Conformi has been a fish right there, meaning like they're going to point that out. They're going to take advantage of that. Right guard, Bro, just turn on the tape, man. Like, we've been given, again, it's not always about sacks. And yes, Ty holding the ball is some of that. But, bro, I'm watching the better fronts of us. Like, you know, when we play these better fronts, bro, like, we're not, like, perfect. And my thing is, the way I think, bro, again, I played in four straight national championship games, bro. Good and great is not good enough for my expectations, bro. I played with some dogs, right? So if you think, oh, man, we're 26 and pass, bro, what are you talking about? Fam, turn on the tape. That's not good enough. Like, I expect, like locking down. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not just cool with, oh, man, well, we're playing good. We're keeping them pretty clean. No. No, bro. We can always improve. Always. And so that's all I'm saying. And again, it's just about finding our five guys and letting those guys work together, gel together, and just playing the best we can up front. That's all I'm talking about. But again, shout out to the offensive line. They've improved great, right? I mean, they've done a lot of good things. And they, for the most part, they have been pretty clean. But again, we saw what Missouri was able to do. Turn on the tape, man. Damon Wilson, 2 sacks, 9, disruptive. And I'm not just talking about just in getting after the quarterback. Bro, I mean, even like, bro, watch them close, blowing up play. I mean, bro, like, they did their thing. So, again, the moral of the story is, guys, this is what I always say. Please. And this isn't just to hype me up or say, oh, if you didn't play, you don't know. I don't do all that, man. I love that everybody likes talking football. At the end of the day, that's the whole common thing. We all love football. But I will reiterate this. Pay attention to who you listen to. I don't care if it's even some of these people with a whole bunch of followers that act like they're breaking football down and know everything. Just be mindful of who you listen to and actually really listen to what they're saying and see if it lines up. A lot of people, I'm telling you, they make a platform, they just read the numbers, they don't know their ass from their elbow. It's just a fact. That being said, all right, let's do this. Well, we'll just combine breaks. We don't need to go to it. We'll combine these read. The good news. Yay, let's get to the good news. Somebody said I'm on Mortal Kombat mode. Fades out. Hey, that, I used to love that game growing up. Anyway, let's get from Mortal Kombat mode. Let's get to the good news, right? All right, boom. So y'all need to say a big thank you. Not to me, but... I was like, you know what? I think I can contact somebody because I know you guys love the breakdown stuff that we do, right? And I love doing it too. I love being able to do that for you guys. So I was pulling some strings. I asked some people, then I figured some stuff out. And if you're on the YouTube stream, you'll just see this real quick. But boom, if you guys know, you know, you guys are seeing what we're seeing. That is the all 22. Yes. Yes, Chief, we got the all 22. Now, again, I've been able to watch tape like this, but I didn't have it where I could put it up on the screen in this format, and that's what I've been trying to figure out. So finally, I was like, let me figure this part out. Well, guess what? It came a lot quicker than I was expecting. We got it. So what does that mean, guys? We're really breaking stuff down, right? We're not freezing, pausing. We're not doing all that, worrying about copyright. We're not doing that. We're all in the game now. So all these people... they have this crap that I don't even know why they have it. And they're just saying, no. Now you got somebody that's really going to break stuff down for you guys. And not just me. This is the part two of the exciting news. So I'm not going to lie. Reed, Chase, guys, let me just say this, man. We come on here. We have fun. I like spreading football and talking ball. I love it. I enjoy it. But it has always bothered me because I felt like we just hadn't always got the respect that we deserve. God, we put a lot into this stuff, right? And size, you know what, man? I'm like, you know what? It's fine. They're gonna get on notice. But we might need to turn it up a notch. I'm like, I know people like listening to me doing it, but I'm like, man, like I have all, like a lot of resources. I feel like we can do even more, right? And I'm like, I see these other people doing stuff and people like they love it. And I'm just like, man, it can even be better. So why not? Let's get some reinforcements. So here's the good news and a little bit of bad news. Good news is not only am I going to be breaking down some all-22 tape and really giving y'all some real football game, putting you guys on game, we're going to have some other people doing it. We got one guy especially that's definitely going to be doing it with it. He's been on the show here, right? You guys are probably familiar with him, play some ball. That guy would be Slade Bolden. Worked out some stuff with Slade and talking, and this is what we got planned for you guys. Obviously, we can't do this on radio. Like, I wish I could because... obviously, you know, people listen on radio. We can't sit there and just break down tape for 2 hours. That wouldn't be fair. So what we're going to do is we're going to continue to do the show like we're doing, right? Our 2-hour slot here. Again, we are a radio show first and foremost. I know a lot of people listen to us on YouTube. But we're going to still do what we're doing. We're going to stream and do all that good stuff. That's great. Nothing's going to change. We're still even watch tape on here. It just will be me, right? Slay's not coming on as a co-host. I wish he could, but Slay's got a lot of stuff too. But what we're going to do is me and Slade are going to do our own podcast, I think. That's how we're going to do it. And we might start with just keeping it on our platform here for now until we really, you know, get everything ironed out. But the goal is to do about 2 episodes per week of Breaking Tape Down. You guys have been asked for, you guys have been asking for it. Well, now you're about to get it, right? And now it's going to be my defensive perspective. We'll have Slade breaking down the offensive perspective. So you got 2 football perspectives on both sides of the football. And what's even cooler is while he's breaking down some offensive stuff, I can talk about what's happening on the defensive side of the ball if I need to, and vice versa. So I don't have exact times and dates when we'll roll all this out, but just know it's coming real soon, and we're really excited about it. Obviously, he's been doing his thing with the Slade segment stuff. We've been doing our thing over here, obviously. I know he's wanting to get more involved with the space, and I'm more than happy to link up with him and do some stuff like this because I think it's going to be great for you guys, right? Now, obviously, we're going to focus a lot on Alabama, but maybe, and like in our opponents, obviously, but maybe we'll start branching out. But initially, that's what we're going to focus on, right? Because obviously, we have majority of Bama fans that tune in. That being said, that was the exciting news. I'm glad we could get to it. So be on the lookout for that. Obviously, we still are kind of ironing some stuff out, but I wanted to just jump the gun and tell you guys because I'm fired up about it. Now, this is where I need your guys' help. Number one, keep supporting like you're doing. Like, subscribe, share, all that good stuff. You already know the drill. But 2, we don't have an official name yet. So if you guys want to help us come up with a name, we're all ears, man. We're ears here. So again, it'll be me and Slade about 2 times a week, Breaking Tape Down. Like you see on the screen, we got all 22. So we'll do it on YouTube twice a week, probably. I'm thinking maybe like a Monday and a Thursday. Monday being like the breakdown of the previous game, and then the Thursday being like a preview / prediction, like what to look out for type deal. Like I already do on here, but again, we're bringing Slade on here. And it will be strictly dedicated to Breaking Tape Down. Really talking about the game of football. So y'all be thinking about that. Start getting your thinking caps on, right? Sound like a teacher with that, but think of a name, right? And yeah, if you guys come up with a name, we'll definitely hook you up. So maybe me and Slade will both sign some stuff and get it to you guys. But yeah, it's a name for like the podcast, which then will be like the name of the channel and stuff like that. But initially, I'll just probably just do it on the Miller's Edge. We'll probably just do everything here just while we're still kind of getting everything rolled out. But yeah, that was the good news. That being said, let's hit a timeout. We combine breaks, so it might be a few minutes here. But when we come back, we'll dive into, finally, this Alabama-Tennessee matchup. I got some tape I want to show you guys. We talk so much about offense. You know, I'm a defensive guy. I want to show you some Tennessee defense stuff. Ty talked about them. You heard about them playing a lot of man. They have a lot of movement. Well, I'm about to show you guys. We'll break that down. We'll talk about it right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts.
Call 800-8000 or visit meswins.com. I've got this.
No representations made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9-
Image Rack and Reel, Cypress Supply, Banks and Company Hardware, Stephen Fikes Allstate, B&B Transmission, Primetime Men's Clinic, South's Finest Roofing, and Cajun Bistro.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are strong.
And get $3,000 over book value only at Tuscaloosa Mazda. TuscaloosaMazda.com. Based on KDB Fair Trade Value on select models with approved credit. See dealer for details.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a a proven track record of over 30 plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
Go inside the Alabama Crimson Tide with the Gary Harris Show.
Hey, everybody, it's Gary Harris. Thursday morning at 9 a.m., I'll be live at the R&R Cigar Mansion in Tuscaloosa getting ready for the third Saturday in October matchup between Alabama and Tennessee. The coach, Ellis Johnson, will join me, D. Orlando Ledbetter, and Jeff Spiegel. That's Thursday morning live at R&R Cigar Mansion on the Gary
Harris Tide. Sold in stadium and at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors.
Taps on his phone and that sound, that's peace of mind from Chase.
Chase Mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank N.A., member FDIC.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A warm afternoon with a good supply of sunshine. The high today, 85. The sky clear tonight, the low 58. The weather stays warm and dry tomorrow and Friday. Lots of sunshine both days. Highs between 83 and 86. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 76 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Into this Wednesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC, presented by the lovely folks at the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts. GoodFeetKickForCash.com, guys. Go there right now. First name, email, submit. You get a chance to kick for cash. Literally, you got to make a 20-yard field goal. You move to 30 yards. If you make that 30, I think you win about $1,000 or so. And then they even got the 40-yard challenge if you're that good, if you got some Will Reichert in you. But again, who don't want free cash? Sign up for it. It's completely free. Again, Good Feet Kick for Cash. Make sure you guys do that. They're doing it this weekend at the Tennessee game, right? So make sure you guys are signed up. You still got some time to do that. GoodFeetKickForCash.com. Plus the Good Feet store. Just check them out if you're dealing with any type of pain, foot pain, knee pain, back pain, hip pain, you name it. McFarland Boulevard, right there in Midtown Village here in Tuscaloosa. But they've got them all over. I think there's 5 stores now in Alabama. They are growing. Why? Because everybody's taking advantage of this store. And those art supports that are incredible. Game changers. So you guys do the same. If you haven't already, get is the Good Feet Store. Improving the quality of people's lives 2 feet at a time. All right, we're off to a very fun, energetic, little bit riled up start. Why not let it continue, guys? It's just one of those days. We got CJ from Tennessee. Sounds like a Tennessee fan calling in. CJ, welcome in.
What's up, Christian? How you doing?
I'm great, man. How's it going? Hey, let me just say this real quick. I will say, because we are in we're a radio show, right? You might have found us on YouTube, but just try just the language and stuff. Try to keep that clean if you can. Anything else, man, you're more than welcome to let it rip.
Yes, sir. I'll be clean with it.
Good deal. What's up? What you got for us?
I was watching and I saw where that guy was talking about how we weren't getting to the quarterback and you kind of squashed that. And I just wanted to come on and talk about our struggling defense and about how I think we might be able to fix some things with Alabama and how this matchup might actually play into our favor.
Yeah, wait, I'm actually really curious about that. You said it, right? And I agree with you that, look, up front, you guys are great. Like, number one in the country in terms of getting after the quarterback. Look, I played outside linebacker here at Alabama. I mean, watching you guys on defense, man, you guys got some really good guys off the edge. But you guys have struggled in the secondary, but you said you might have some stuff in your head that you feel like could work in y'all's favor. Tell me what that is.
Yeah, I think the main thing is two of the games that we've played, you know, we had to play, we played Georgia with Gunnar Stockton, we played Arkansas with Taylen Green, and I think that that changes our defense a lot. We have to deal with a running quarterback, somebody that can really run the ball. And I haven't really seen, I'm not saying Ty Simpson's a statue or anything, but I haven't really seen him be a threat as much when it comes to running the ball. And I think we're going to be able to focus more on the pass. And I don't really, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see as much man coverage in this game.
So you think you guys might work away from that man coverage, knowing that, you know, you're going against some receivers that arguably are, could be the best trio in college football. You think y'all play a lot more zone in this game?
I think we could. I'm not saying it's for certain. I mean, our safeties are the ones that have been struggling. When we look at the cornerbacks, our corners have really stepped up and took place of the starters, and they've been doing good. We got a true freshman, Ty Redmond, and Colton Hood, the Colorado transfer that sat under Travis Hunter. And I'm not worried about our corners, really, and I'm not worried about our line. What I'm worried about more than anything is our safeties, and we have some good linebackers, but it's just like they haven't been playing like they should be. It's kind of like they're following the playbook and not making plays when they need to be. So more than anything, I'm really worried about the safeties and the linebackers more than anything going into this game on our defense.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you brought up linebacker play. I was watching the Mississippi State game, and there's a couple of times it's a little questionable to me at times. And then even like you mentioned the back end, I do think sometimes those guys, again, where there was – when you ask your secondary to play a lot of man coverage, number one, that is a tough task. But there were some times that I saw on tape where guys were getting beat, and it wasn't always, you know, just them flat out getting beat. There's one, I'm about to actually put it on the screen here in a minute. You guys were playing cover two. There was no reroute, and dude ran straight down the middle of the field. It was a deep post. He ended up dropping the ball, but you guys definitely were beat. So little stuff like that, I think you could probably work on and clean it up. But you got your hands, you know, full in this one. I mean, Jeremy Bernard and Isaiah Horton, those guys have really, you know, solidified themselves as some of the top guys in this conference. And obviously, we know what Ryan Williams is capable of. He hasn't really even hit his stride yet this season. So I think it's going to be good. Real quick, because we got to get this time out here in a second. What do you think about the other side of the ball, y'all's offense? Now, I mean, you guys clearly have a high-powered offense, the top offense in the conference. I mean, you I feel like you're pretty confident about that. I mean, what do you think about our defense?
Oh, yeah. I'm honestly pretty confident with our offense that no matter how good the defense is, I'm positive that our offense can put points on the board. I would even go as far as to say is I think we have one of the best wide receiver rooms in the country with Chris Brazel. And we saw in the Arkansas game when they played bracket wide receiver one, and they made it hard for us to get the ball to Brazel. So we just went to Braylon Staley and Mike Matthews. And Mike Matthews, he hadn't had a drop this season. And Braylon Staley, man, he just got the speed that kills. He's our slot receiver. And our tight end, he's kind of hit or miss. I mean, here lately, he's been making some big plays when it mattered, though. So I'm confident with offense. Deshaun Bishop, he can run that ball, man. He's good. And we got two running backs behind him that are probably just as good. So when it comes to offense, I have all the faith in the world in Joey Aguilar. He's thrown four picks on paper, but three of those picks were off of the tight end's hand that were deflected in the air. So he's only really thrown one true pick that was his fault this season. And I have faith in our offense that we can put points on the board and make this a shootout. And I think if we do make it a shootout, I think it works in Tennessee's favor.
It's definitely going to be interesting to see. I think a lot of people feel that way too, man. CJ, I'll say this. I'm looking at the numbers, right, for the leaders in the league. And you're right, man. You guys have three of the top seven receivers in reception yards, which makes sense. Obviously, you guys lead the conference in passing yards. But, yeah, man, that's honestly one of the matchups I'm going to pay attention to, because I personally feel like our secondary hadn't been tested a whole bunch this year. And this is probably going to be the biggest challenge for us outside of – Florida State has some good receivers. Squirrel White, former Tennessee receiver. guy, big guy that transferred from Southern Cal. But I think you guys definitely have a good group of receivers. Georgia did, but, you know, they just that game, you know, we did a good job in that, I guess. But we'll see, man. I'm looking forward to it. But, hey, CJ, we got to hit this top of the hour break, man. Great stuff. I appreciate the call, man. Real respectful stuff. And I hope you stay tuned. We're going to talk a little Alabama. Maybe you'll have some thoughts on that. But you're welcome to hang out in the chat if you like on our YouTube stream, man.
I'll be in there.
Our chat's okay with you right now, man. They said he's all right with us. So you're good for now. We're not going to gang up on you just yet.
All right. Sounds good, man. You have a good one.
Yes, sir. Take care, bro. Good deal. Hey, man, I like that, man. Hey, why can't we get more callers from other schools kind of with that vibe? And that was a good call. I liked it. I don't know. Any other Tennessee fans, man, hit us up. That's cool. All right, we got to hit the top of the hour break. When we come back, we'll keep on rolling. Hour number two coming up right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
The Dodgers lead the NL Championship Series 2-0 after winning at top seed Milwaukee again 5-1 behind a complete game 3-hitter from Yoshinobu Yamamoto a night after his teammate Blake Snell went 8 innings with just 1 hit allowed. Yamamoto allowed a leadoff homer to the Brewers' Jackson Churiel on the first pitch, but Milwaukee's offense the rest of the game went 2-for-30. LA's Teoscar Hernandez homered in the second inning. Max Muncy with a solo shot in the sixth. The Dodgers host Game 3 Thursday afternoon. The ALCS was off. The Mariners lead 2-0 against Toronto. Game 3 in Seattle Wednesday night on FS1. The Dallas Mavericks gave coach Jason Kidd a multi-year extension. The league's exhibition schedule ends this Friday night. NHL overtime wins for Washington and Montreal. And U.S. men's soccer won its exhibition against Australia 2-1 in Colorado.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi, online at pearlriverresort.com, and by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, online at tuscaloosacdjr.com, and by Two Dimes, online at twodimes.club, and by Druid City Regional Medical Center, dchsystem.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge
with New York Giants legend
and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
4-time SEC champion
and 2-time national champion Christian Miller.
And not down again. It was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
back into the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. All right, we just had our first call, came from CJ from Tennessee, right? That was cool, man. Great, great conversation, man. I appreciated that. I always appreciate when people are respectful like that. So it's all smooth, man. See, we can get along with Tennessee fans, Georgia fans. I would even say maybe some Auburn fans, but Auburn fans, I'm not gonna lie, that might be a little bit more difficult. But anyway, we got the tape pulled up again. So glad to finally have this because we're not skipping, stopping, pausing, flipping, all that stuff. We're just letting it run. Now, again, I know radio, if you can't see this, well, obviously you're listening to radio. I'm going to break it down real quick. We're just looking at one play real quick, then we'll get back to some other stuff. But again, YouTube at the Miller's Edge, you can always watch the show live. Right, we're breaking this down, and there's a two-play sequence real quick from Tennessee's defense, right? Just pointing some things out. You see the looping from the defensive end right here. Nobody's covering for contain, and he ends up back out. Miscommunication up there. So even though they're really good at getting after the quarterback and maybe it works out in their favor, they do a bunch of stunts and loops. But you see it consistently that sometimes they're not on the same page, right? So that definitely could be a problem for them. But on the back end, right, I wanted to see, right, the secondary going into this game, literally – is their weak point, at least statistically, right? And I've only seen a full game of them versus Georgia. So now that I've been watching this tape, I'm like trying to pay attention to their secondary. Well, there's a couple things, right? And here's one, right? This is, again, they get lucky, they do drops the ball, but you would initially, at the beginning of the play, you've got a stack formation at the bottom of the screen by the receivers. They switch release, but Tennessee's playing cover two, right? We talked about that. Two deep safeties, they're both half players, corners are squatting. But then we talked about the weak points. You've got the hole shots, right? And in the middle of the field, especially when those safeties are stressed. And that's exactly what's happening here. Because you see this guy, he's on a go, right? So that safety has to respect this. He's expected, and in a lot of defenses, what they do is they'll have their guys take like three through, meaning like when they have a vertical down the middle of the field, they'll have like a backer or whoever is right there turn and run because they know you got to have some type of protection there. Those safeties, when they're stressed like that, that thing is wide open. Well, this Tennessee defender, his biggest mistake was there's no reroute. He gets no hands on him, and now you've got a slot guy running down the field. Now, I'm not sure if this is the backer that's supposed to be running with him or their nickel corner, but he's beat. And then the route design here works good because that draws that safety over there. They run like a deep out, whatever. This guy ended up running. Long story short, perfect ball placement. I mean, this should be at least be caught at like the 14-yard line, but receiver drops the ball. I mean, that was a huge explosive play right there that Tennessee should have given up, but they got fortunate that there's a drop, right? We'll skip the end zone real quick because there's nothing big going on there. But the reason I wanted to show you the sequence was you watch this next play, right? Literally, Mississippi State's going to run the football here, but watch what happens. I don't know if they're supposed to be running a stunt up front or what the deal is, but this is why I'm confused, right? The defensive end jumps and takes it inside initially. Mississippi State's running the football. If he's just playing his typical technique, obviously, who's supposed to set the edge? Him. Now, he jumps it. But listen, if you're going to have a defensive end going inside, there's always going to be somebody that's replacing, whether it's a cat blitz, whether it's a backer coming off the edge, safety, whatever. Here, they have nobody. So I don't know if this guy just made a business decision and saw that gaping hole from the offensive tackle, because you see what the tackle does. He goes to reach him, and this guy sees nothing but space. Now, I don't know if he was just trying to play hero ball or what, but see, this is the stuff that I see on tape with this Tennessee defense, which it ends up biting them, right? They are aggressive, and see, like this, now this guy's tied up with this blocker, right? He doesn't get off the block fast enough. Safety, right? Lost his ankles, and boom, it ends up going for like a 60-yard house call. When really, if that defensive end would have just played his technique, set the edge, or if they're actually running a stunt, which I think they might have been doing something. You see him tap his hip right there? I think they were running something, and someone's supposed to replace, probably seven, because you see him trying to get outside. But that ain't it, right? Anyway, that just came up on tape, and I just wanted to show you guys two plays back-to-back where Tennessee had some blunders. And I'm just saying, if they make those kinds of mistakes, I'm just telling you right now, our offense, this is Mississippi State, our offense, they're going to make you pay. They're going to make you pay big time for that stuff. So we'll keep looking at some of that moving forward. I just don't want to go too tape heavy. Then our radio listeners are like, damn, man, like we don't really see what he's talking about, but I try to explain it the best that I can. Let me think of what else I got, because we only got a few minutes left in this segment before we keep going on to the tape. In terms of some of their, I guess, quick stats that we can hit, we just talked with CJ, and this came up while I have it right here. They do have offensively, right? You look at it, their offense is the number one offense in the conference. They have an average, they're putting up like 48 points per game, so they obviously score a lot. But on the flip side, they give up the most points per game. They give up 29 points, right? So it's kind of like the tale of two sides with this Tennessee football team. Last year, their defense was coming along. They're looking a lot better. This year, the front's good, but there's a lot of question marks in a lot of other spots on that defensive side. They do have some good receivers. Like you mentioned, Brazel is their guy, their go-to guy. I mean, he's a dog, right? That's going to be interesting. And even the other two guys, I always draw a blank on the Matt. It starts with the M. What's his name? Mike Matthews. He's a good player as well. And the Stanley guy, or Staley. So I'm looking forward to this matchup for our secondary, right? I mean, I think that's going to be huge. I mean, Florida State had a great group of receivers. Georgia had a number of guys, but I thought we did good in that game against their players. But I'll be honest, outside of that, I just don't think we've really been challenged like that, not just by personnel, but if you think about it, I'm pretty sure like we have like the second fewest attempts against us in terms of throwing the ball. Missouri kept trying to throw the ball, which was not what they do. And I know we did well against that, but I'm just being honest with you guys that Missouri's passing game was bad. It was really bad. Now we're going against a Tennessee team with, they've got good weapons. Their quarterback's playing good ball. And I think him and Ty are like right up there for like the top two quarterbacks in terms of their numbers in the conference right now. So it's going to be a good challenge. Now, you guys know I always talk about it. We got to be able to get pressure on the quarterback. I think that's going to be huge in this game. I can't remember what I saw, but there's something talking about Aguilar under pressure, right? He's been a lot more vulnerable to make those mistakes, like when those turnovers came and some of the issues that he has, especially if you go back and watch the Georgia tape when Georgia was finally able to get a little bit of pressure on him, you can see the clear difference, right? But outside of that, right, we know that's going to be a thing. But I even just think in terms of our secondary guys, man, it's going to be important that you're ready for one of those days. They're going to challenge you, right? A guy like Damani Jackson, who's you know, struggled some, if he's out there, I mean, best believe they're going to go at you. And so our guys got to be ready to step up, because I don't think they've really been attacked in that sense just yet. Personally, even though Florida State had good players, they didn't really throw the ball a whole bunch. I mean, even Georgia ran for 200 something yards. I mean, they had good skill guys, but they tried to throw the ball. But still, outside of though, I mean, think about it, guys. We hadn't really faced a true team that really can get it done through the air. And this will be that. So it's going to be a good challenge for our secondary. Hopefully our pass rush can definitely get home, because we've been doing a better job of that. But I will say this, though, by the numbers, since you guys like numbers, right? Numbers-wise, I can't remember if it was like pressure rate or it was something about getting to the quarterback. I was expecting it to be higher because I feel like it's been better, right? LT Overton really kind of just taking over. Yonze Pierre coming along. But by the numbers, guys, we're still like 100 and something when it comes to that, man. So that's got to get better. I'm not too worried about necessarily sacks, but we've got to be able to affect the quarterback, especially in this game. All right, let's take a timeout. We come back. We'll keep on rolling. We got Ricky on the phone lines. We'll talk with him. We'll continue taking some looks at this stuff, especially during the breaks. We'll go to the tape as well. So if you guys want to see that, at the Miller's Edge on YouTube as well.
Inspection today and get up to 30% off. That's leaffilter.com/country for up to 30% off. Leaffilter.com/country. See representative for warranty details.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A warm afternoon with a good supply of sunshine. The high today, 85. The sky clear tonight, the low 58. The weather stays warm and dry tomorrow and Friday. Lots of sunshine both days. Highs between 83 and 86. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 81 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Miller's Edge, Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art sport experts. God, I love having this tape, man. I love having this tape. Drop a like if you guys like this tape, man. I know we've only been doing it during the timeouts, but I mean, like, literally, I can just let stuff play and really break down everything. I'm telling you, like, this is probably going to be the most extensive stuff you guys are going to get. It might take a minute to get you some of this verbiage and stuff, but you guys like it. But anyway, again, we just wanted to show this one here real quick for our radio listeners. We were showing Mississippi State doing something that Tennessee does themselves, right? They split you out wide. They spread you out, get you thin in the box, right? Tennessee's working with a five-man box. And they just end up running the ball, hitting the edge, right? Tennessee has no edge at all. We'll see what the end did. Same thing, guys. Why does he keep doing that? And you know what's funny? This is exactly why Mississippi State is running these plays. That end keeps taking the inside. If they're going to do that defensively, hear me out. Ryan Grubb, please run wide zone. Please run the damn ball and hit them over and over until you make them change it. I mean, because they're just giving Mississippi State. I need to look up how many yards they gave up on the ground in this game. Because, again, that's a hard task. That backer is 5-on-5. There's no free. The only guy, I pointed this out, is this safety coming from like 20 yards to meet this guy, right? I mean, he's already at like 13, 14. He was back here another 5 yards, 18 yards or so. And you're asking him, again, corner, he's on this receiver. This is your free hitter. So if these guys don't beat these blocks, this is your only free hitter here. And that's a tough task for this open field tackle coming from that distance, man. Big play. Big play on the ground, right? So I hope we try to run the ball at them. If they're going to keep doing stuff like that, oh, thank you, Reed. Mississippi State had 203 rushing yards versus Tennessee in this game. That's why. I'm curious what technique that end is doing right there. Because, again, I'm familiar with Jimmy Pony technique where we strike, then we cross that into the B gap. But we communicated that with our backer. So he knows, right? He's going to replace. And we're doing that to force them to make a decision, right? It's like kind of like deceiving them. Oh, I'm sending the edge. Nope, I'm crossing into the B gap. You know what I mean? Like, it's just trying to, throw the offense off a little bit. There's nobody covering this guy. These ends keep jumping inside. Like, even on the run, there's no edge. Now, this was against Mississippi State. This was several weeks ago. Maybe they've cleaned this up, but if they're going to play the run like that and try to be that aggressive and just give up edges like that, oh, bro. Damn, I keep forgetting Jams out. Kevin Riley, brother, please make them pay. All right, let's go to the phone lines. We got Ricky up next. Ricky, welcome in.
What's going on, my man?
Oh, man, I'm living the dream, bro. I got this tape now that I don't have to be clicking, stopping, freezing, all that.
Man, you sound happy. I'm just like, man, I got no eat glass out of using YouTube clips again.
Bro, I'm tired of you too, bro. They tried to play us Friday, bro. I was like, man, I'm gonna let my folks just watch the tape. I don't care about it. And then, I learned quick. Y'all tell some. Oh, we tried to tell you. I'm like, man, I saw that after the fact. Y'all told me after we got hit. I said, oh, I don't want to play with them.
I tried to say like do it every 3 seconds. And you stop. Like every 3 seconds, you got to stop when it comes to YouTube, man. Like I had figured it out a long time ago.
Yeah, well, I learned now, but hey, it's all good. We don't need it no more. We got the tape, man.
All right. So it's like two things that I got to hurry up and get to you because you probably got to go to break at some point.
Nah, you good, bro. Take your time, bro.
So I had a question about like the run defense. Like, so when I see that, like Tia posts like a couple of videos, right? Like, because she has whatever this beef with Kane Womack, like she has just like been going on for like a while now. So What I notice is when it looks like we're showing like pressure, like against the run, we kind of like the linebackers like kind of back out or being like asked to kind of back out. And then when the running back has full momentum, we're asked to immediately like jump back and try to make a stop after backpedaling out. So it's just like I would run through that like all the time too if I saw it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so you want my thoughts on that?
I think I tagged you in that video, but it like when I saw it after like I saw it and like I was just like, well, how can you like not give up explosive plays doing things like that?
God, I love having this tape. Man, I just jumped straight to the tape from Florida State and our defense. And guess what, Ricky? The first place is that first play is them mugged up. Oh, man, God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. All right, so here's my thought. Hey, no, I swear to God. Lord, forgive me. I swear, the first one is literally them mugged up like this. So here's the thing. And honestly, they're stacking the box this game, expecting the run. I'm not a fan of that, and I've addressed it. But here's the thing. I want to preface by saying this. I'm not one of these people. I'm not saying, oh, Kane Womack is this. I'm not trying to criticize the guy again. There's a rhyme or reason for why he's doing it. I haven't spoken to him personally and asked him exactly to break it down for me. I understand, yes, it can, you know, alter some blocking schemes. Like the offensive line, they have to respect that. It's no different from like when they're identifying mics and stuff like that. Like I get from that point, but to answer your question, I agree with, I think it was a tweet you tagged us in, and I made note of this. You see Justin Jefferson's first step right here. Now, Deontay was interesting on this one. Deontay kind of triggers. So if they're doing stuff like, no, this is against Florida State. It looks like Deontay triggers. Now, I don't know if he just triggers because he immediately diagnoses that it's run, but here's the thing. Justin Jefferson is doing what we talked about. His first step is backwards. And I've seen too many times where these guys, they're lined up, mugged up in these gaps, and their first step is back, and you see the offensive line already climbing up on them. You can't play downhill like that. You're now catching blocks, and you're putting yourself at a disadvantage. Or if the ball is going, you know, sideline to sideline, you're a step behind because your first step is back. One thing I learned in football, and it's always, I don't care who you play for, what system it is, you always want to eliminate false steps and wasted movement. That is the whole, I mean, philosophy of doing drills at practice, right? Finding ways to eliminate that. Why? Because it's a game of inches, especially the higher the level you get. I mean, being a second slow, a step behind, that I mean, it kills you. And I feel like we saw that a number of times with our defense. I mean, they would be...
Well, that was especially Damani.
Yeah, no, that's a different story. I think he might be a little banged up. I'm being completely honest with you, bro. Like, I know Damani really well. I'm really close to dude. I mean, great dude, by the way. But I've seen him when playing healthy and when he, I mean, this dude is one of the fastest guys on the team, one of our best cover guys. I mean, since he got here, he honestly was probably our best cover guy. What I'm seeing the last few games, man, I think he might be dealing with a little bit of an injury. But that being said, though, go ahead.
No, but like, if I'm being honest, like, I don't think Damani, like played bad. Like, it's again, like, it's a few, like, little missteps that, like, can easily
fix. He's had some bad moments.
He really only had that one, like, play, like, the first drive against Missouri where I was, like, confused as to, like, what he was doing, like, on that touchdown drive. But other than that, like, I thought that, like you said, like, it's a few missteps and then you're trying to catch up when they break contain and go around the edge. And I was like, well, what can you do when you don't really commit to like going in and making the tackle? You like, you're backing up and then you gotta hurry up and go full speed ahead to try to stop a run. Like, I just thought, like, of course you kind of get beat. So he always like has had like grace with me. Like, now as far as him being injured, like I wasn't like totally sure, like yeah, with him and Ryan, like I wasn't sure what was going on, but.
Yeah, well, I think he might be a little banged up. If I'm being honest with you, I know he's banged up. I'm just going to tell you that. He's not 100% healthy. But nonetheless, though, I mean, if you're going to be out there, though, I mean, like, if and I, you know what's funny? When I think Kalen DeBoer kind of hinted at that when he made that comment, like, you guys don't see practice, so you don't know who's hobbled and who's not. I think people only assumed a guy like Ryan Williams, but I think that kind of goes towards other people, and it probably could be, he could be one of those guys too, right? I mean, he's probably dealing with, so I'm just going to be straight up with you guys. There's a lot of guys that are dealing with stuff, not just this year, last year, that you guys had no clue about, playing with rotator cuff stuff, playing with, you know, meniscus, and like, that you guys just don't know about. And so I get it. I forget about it too. And sometimes it's like, man, what is this guy doing? But then I have to go back into my player mind and go, damn, you know how many times I'm out there and stuff don't feel right, it hurts, and people don't know, but then it looks like I'm just like, oh, well, wait, why did he, you know what I mean? So some of that does happen. But I would say this, even with them being banged up, though, again, at the end of the day, though, if you're out there, man, you've got to own up what you're putting out there. Yeah, I see, like, QD talking to me. Like, and if Kane Womack kind of address that. They understand he might not be fully healthy, maybe, but you still, man, I think sometimes it's a mix. Like, sometimes it looks like guys take some business decisions sometimes. I'm not accusing him of that necessarily, but I'm just saying, man.
We 6 games in the season, right? Like, I mean, like, it's, you bound to get beat up at, like, some point, like, playing, like, Alabama football. Whether it's through practice or game. So, like, I there is some, like, understanding, at least from my part, like, when it comes to that, like, with guys getting, like, injured, like, and not, like, bad, but, like, we got a few guys in concussion protocol. Like, I think Jam might be out this weekend.
I don't know for sure, but I would assume, I mean, I don't know.
How does that work? Like, because I had a Kane Wame question, but, like, how does that work? Like, when you get a concussion, like, in the game, like, are you in protocol all week, and then you kind of see if you're clear, or are you just out the following week if you get a concussion?
So the way it works is you have you literally have to pass, like, certain tests. Like, there's, like, a series of tests that you have to go through that will determine, right? So, like, there's, like, a balance test. There's, like, a screen. You have to concentrate on stuff. And then, like, you get scores. Like, it literally, like, you get – there's scores. You literally have to, pass the test to get cleared. So, if it's a minor concussion and, say, you're out of action for 5 days and you pass the score, I mean, you technically could probably go if you pass. But, I mean, and it also, history matters too. If you had one recently, I know you're definitely going to be a little bit behind the eight ball. They're not just going to say, all right, you passed this time. Like, they're going to be a lot more patient. So there's a lot of factors there, Ricky. I don't think he had anything recently. So, I mean, if he passed the test, there's a good chance they could maybe see if you can roll. But with that stuff, bro, I don't know. I always think it's just better to be patient, bro. I mean, you saw Tua rush back from that bad one, then literally – when you have one, it's a lot easier to have another. So you got to be careful, especially at running back, bro. You're taking on contact at running back. I would rather him be patient, honestly.
Yeah, but the way Miami handled that, that's a whole other conversation. All right, so Kane Womack, right? So here's my thing, like, when I'm like, again, like, another year where, like, most of, like, my arguments are, like, with Bama fans, like, which sucks because we in the middle of the season. I would love to argue with Tennessee folks this week, but of course I don't. I think some fans just kind of have to, like, get the idea that, like, those old, like, 2011 through 2017 defenses, like, that used to average just, like the defense used to average 14 points a game. Like, I think people have to kind of get, like, away from that and, like, kind of understand where we are, like, in college football today. I think, personally speaking, like, I think Kane Womack so far, you know, week one is one thing, but, like, I think that he's been doing a really good job, especially in the second half. Like, I think we've only allowed – like post, I mean, pre Missouri, I think we've only allowed like 7 points in the second half of like of these games.
I was going to say, I mean, scoring defense, we are in the conference, we're seventh, we're allowing 17 points a game, but you got to take into consideration that we've also played arguably one of the toughest schedules in three straight ranked opponents. And we played a Florida State team week one who, I want to say Florida State is one of the top scoring. I think they're like top five in scoring offense. So all those factors considered, I agree with you. That it's interesting. Like, when I look at this defense, like, we're not elite. I would not say we're elite. Like, there's no way I would consider us elite. But no. It's like, it's weird. It's like on one end, I feel like we're playing better than it might really feel like we're playing. And I talked about this yesterday with a caller, like I don't even think people realize we, you know, you hold Vanderbilt only 20 yards on the ground, 3 out of 4 quarters. Granted, I feel like they got behind the eight ball. They're playing catch up. That might lean in, or, you know, have a little bit of a factor there. But Missouri, You go against a top rushing team, one of the top rushing teams, the top rusher in the country, you hold him to 50-something yards. But they didn't run him as much as I thought they could have or should have. But still, you pretty much shut that down for the most part. And I know they showed 160 on the stat sheet, but two explosive runs made up 60 of those yards. What I've come to figure out is I think sometimes the people that complain a whole bunch, their attention is really focused on those big explosives or that one bad series. And the people that are a little bit overjoyous, I think, ignore those signs that need to be cleaned up too much. And to me, that's why I kind of fall in the middle. I think Kane's done a pretty good job. Like, I would probably say, it depends. I feel like this year, especially, I feel like he's done a lot better of a job in terms of adjusting, matching personnel better, putting his guys in better positions. And I feel like the shortcomings, honestly, really come from our guys not executing. Most of the time, they've been outside of some of the mug stuff that I don't like, or sometimes overdoing a couple of different things. I feel like he's actually done a pretty solid job this year, for sure, and definitely better than last year, in my opinion.
Oh, of course. To me, too. So, in your opinion, you actually do think we have a good defense. It's just like the one or two explosive plays that people just can't get out of their head, like every game that we like seem to have. Like, so Georgia, like they, I think they had like three runs on the edge that they just took off for like 30 yards. And of course the two plays that Vandy had, of course, Florida State. So to you, it's just like we are good throughout the game until like maybe two or three like explosive plays just happens, and then like everybody just kind of feels like that all just goes away.
Yeah, because I'll be honest with you, man. Literally, if you look at the numbers, if you take away the explosives that were given up, I mean, I would say we're on the verge of, again, it's when I, and the reason I'm like, I know you guys hear me say, oh, we don't have an elite defense. Some people might be like, oh, why would you say that? You just got to remember like the teams that I came from. So like I think people throw around the word GOAT, elite, I think we throw around those words too loosely. So just keep that in mind. That being said, if you take away these explosive plays that we've given up, I mean, we've actually played some damn good defense. The Georgia game, we gave up explosive plays. Outside those explosive plays, we held them in that second half. We did a damn good job against Georgia. Same with Vanderbilt. Damn good job. Missouri, right? I mean, like, did it again. That, going into that game, Missouri was one of the top offense in the country. Like, they're going to make some plays. I think, like you said it. Sometimes people are just so stuck on, like, oh, we have to be so perfect because that's what they're used to, you know, from the last decade or two with, you know, some of the teams and defense that we had. But you got to remember, these other teams also have good players, too. That said, I mean, averaging 17 points a game and knowing we played three ranked teams in a row, that's pretty damn good. You know, we've forced turnovers. That's solid. I would say the biggest thing, Ricky, right now with our defense, got to get a better pass rush and got to limit explosive plays.
That's the biggest thing?
Those are the two big things for me right now.
It's not the O-line play at all?
No, I'm talking about defense.
Defense.
Yeah. I'm sorry, for our defense. Those are the biggest issues for our defense. We gotta get after the quarterback better, and we just gotta limit the explosive plays. I think if you do those two things, I promise you, this is one of the, I would probably say, I don't want to even say that right now, but it would be one of the better defense in the country without a doubt. We're already on the verge of that, but listen, if you clean up the explosive plays and you get better pass rush, I'm telling you, Ricky, I'm telling you.
Let me ask you this.
Take away that first series from Missouri, right? How would you grade our defense in that game if you ignore that first series? I'm saying like off the top, you probably like, man, keeping in mind that their running back, they averaged almost 300 yards on the ground going into the game. Keep in mind that they're like a top, they're number one on third down in the country. We held them to 1 of 10 on third down. I mean, granted, and that started because we stopped them on first and second down. They weren't used to having to go on, you know, third and long. And I know that they're vertical. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, that's all I'm saying. And then,
no,
and then,
I,
Even by the numbers, like think about this. If someone told you we would hold Missouri to 100 yards rushing on the ground and Ahmad Hardy to like 50 yards going into that game, you'd be like, damn, we're defensive their thing. Ironically, if you take away the explosive run by the quarterback for 23 in the first yard, excuse me, in the first quarter, and you take away the 39-yard run by Roberts, back number two, those two plays alone, 62 yards, Ricky. So, I'm not saying we were perfect on defense. I'm just saying this is how much of a difference explosives make. You take away those 2 yards, Ahmad Hardy still would be held to 52 yards, and as a total on the ground, they would only have 101. Go ahead.
No, me and you agree with all that. Like, if I'm being honest with you, like, if I didn't watch the game and I didn't know what had happened and all I did was, like, read the stat sheet, that's a B-plus, A-minus performance, right? Like, honestly. Like, especially against, like, a very good Missouri team at home, by the way. Like, I thought that was a good performance. Now, like, you say elite, like you don't think we're elite. But then again, like, I'm trying to explain to people that I really only think that there are, like, 3 teams in the country, period, that, like, are elite with their defense.
I agree with you on that.
Texas Tech and Miami.
I agree with that. Miami's got a damn good defense. I mean, Texas has a solid defense. Now, I know.
Texas Tech.
But I know Texas has been a little. But if you watch them though on tape, I mean they can play some damn defense too.
It's hard to say.
I know it's a little up and down, but just watching them, even the game against Ohio State, I mean they've got dudes. They can do it. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. But you're right though. I do feel like it's not like there's not many elite teams in my head. Elite is like, by the way. You can definitely win a championship without having like an elite defense. I'm just saying, like, when I think of elite, like this is what made us elite. We would be like number one in the country in pass rush, sacks accounted for, pressure, all that stuff. But then on the flip side, we literally would be holding teams to like less than 3 yards to carry. And be forcing turnovers. Like, it honestly, like thinking back, I'm like, bro, it's honestly insane. Like, the type of, like,
yeah, now, granted,
granted, there'll be times like we play Clemson and then shoot, a lot of that go out the window. They hit us for 400 through the air. You know what I mean? Like, it happens. I'm not saying we were perfect, but like, on a consistent basis, like when LSU would come in the game with Fournette and like, oh man, these dudes, they're running, averaging 100 and this. They're doing this and that in the third. And then they step up to us, and he's got 30 yards on the ground. Like, bro, that's elite, bro. Because, I mean, you're talking about a good team, and you're embarrassing them. That's, like, my standard. So I'm just saying, if you limit explosive plays and get better on third down, I think we're a top 15 defense.
Here's my last question. Do you think with the remaining of the schedule, we can be elite?
Well, I think it really depends on what we do, not so much about what they do. But I get what you're saying. It's going to be more of a challenge. I'll say this. You got a great test this weekend because this is the top team. I know we were talking about Missouri, but the way Missouri did it is a lot different than the way Tennessee does it. Missouri, and then which I'm not discrediting what we did, because honestly, that to me was probably – if you asked me a few weeks ago, I would have said Missouri would have been the tougher challenge because I thought we were still struggling to stop the run. And now we're about to face a team with the best running back in the country who not just, oh, he's just fast. No, this dude is a bowling ball, and it's not just him. It's the other guy. They're averaging almost 300 on the ground, and we did well. Now we go into this game, and we have a chance to show that we can also stack up against an air raid offense who will run the ball too, right? They also averaged over 200 a game. We'll see how we stack up them, because this is other challenge. Our pass rush is not great right now. We got to have that in this game. And we've shown to give up explosive plays, not as many through the air, more so on the ground. But still, I just don't think we've been challenged. I want to see how our secondary responds to a challenge like this against Tennessee. If they do their thing against Tennessee this weekend, I'm looking at it now. Mateer is good at Oklahoma, but I feel like Tennessee, in terms of putting points on a defense is much more of a threat than Mateer in Oklahoma, as good as he is. Right. But still, I mean, you could tell he won 100% with that hand injury. Who else we have? Auburn. Their offense, I mean, I know that's going to be a tough game, but that offense is what it is. But who else? I'm trying to think real quick before we get this time out. South Carolina. Lenore Sell is a good player, but they don't really have a running game right now. So, yeah, I think, right. I mean, this is going to be a big challenge. I think Tennessee and LSU, I mean, if you show up big against these teams, you got a chance to really prove yourself as a defense. So, we'll see. Ricky, we got to hit this time out, man. Great to hear from you, brother.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Always, bro. Good deal. Quick time out. During the break, we will break down some tape. When we come back, we'll go back to the phone lines. We got Smitty, I believe, up.
Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Two Dimes Tuscaloosa, and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Into Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Let's go quick because I know we got Smitty up next. Smitty, welcome in.
Hey, what's going on, Christian?
What's up, Smitty?
Man, a couple of things, though. One thing, I know people are like, games be too close and everything, and the one thing I say this right about Tennessee, they won without their two top targets playing well. To me, that says a lot about, hey, because we know that's a sign of a good team. Because, hey, if your top guys ain't showing up, there's other people that can step up, and then you find a way to win. But with Tennessee, I've always noticed about this offense, it's not even a pass offense. It's a run offense where they keep the box light. If the box is light, they'll run it because they spread people so far out. So I think the key is to be physical with their corners, keep them to the outside. And I think someone like DJ Lee is probably more cut out for it. Because your dad was here, I would have said Damone Jackson probably do could use a plate of neck bones, you know. But I think you have to put your hands on these people. But the defense, I believe the offensive line, let's be real. It is the quarterback, the most consistent part of this team. Let's be real. And because you can't be the consistent unit if your right tackle giving up sacks so fast that the quarterback is like, oh crap, you know,
right. No, I agree. Or even just like, I mean, at right guard, giving up pressure there. I mean, like, it's really the right side. My biggest thing was I'm like, even that whole. I mean, the argument's already cut dead when you think about the fact that we're halfway through the season and we're still rotating eight guys. Like what. Solid, great, you know, shored up offensive line unit would be rotating that many guys. I've never in my life seen that, ever. Like, that's an obvious sign that the coaches still feel like they need to get the right guys, which is, I mean, it is what it is. That's what we got to deal with, and we're working through it.
You know what I say? Sometimes you just have to make a choice. Go with these guys, just bet on them. And I think that we have some guys you got to play them. And I'll take this before I go. Maybe we see some AK Deer with no jam in there. What do you think? Because, hey, these guys could protect the pass the last game with the running back. So why not throw the freshman out there who may have a little bit of jiggle? If you can't protect the pass pro, put the young guy in and see what he may have. But I know you got up against it. Thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate you, Smitty. And sorry about that, man. We had a long break right there. But I'll say this. I think what you're going to see is you're going to see Kevin Riley for sure, and you'll see Daniel Hill. Daniel's been a little banged up, and I think he's a little bit more healthy now. Those would be my two top guys this weekend with Jam out. So, and I think they'll do a damn good job, too. I mean, you got small, quick guy, but also not afraid to lower his shoulder than the 240-pound back that you can really lean on as well. We got to hit this top of the hour break. This has been a very fun one on this Wednesday edition. Don't worry, tomorrow we'll be right back here. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC, also on YouTube. Continuing to break stuff down, and make sure you guys are on the lookout again. We will be doing some podcast stuff, really diving into tape full time. So make sure you guys are ready for that. All right, that'll do it for us here, right here on the Miller's Edge, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. We'll see you guys.